Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. This week, I wanted to talk a little bit about working with juried shows and selected shows and photo competitions, because I get asked several times about how you go about doing that, how you make sure you're successful when you do that, what sort of images to select, what kind of things to watch out for if you're actually entering some of those competitions. So I thought I'd take a few minutes this week and just talk a little bit about my perspective on how I think about juried shows, juried competitions, and what kind of things I look for. First thing I like to look for is, what kind of show is it? There's so many photo competitions out there. There's local ones, there's photos clubs, there's national ones, there's magazines, there's ones by subject. You can find landscape, you can find portraiture, you can find fine art, ones that are specific to black and white. So the possibilities are endless in terms of what you're looking for. But one of the things I like to look for is juried shows or photo competitions that are kind of in my sweet spot of what I am actually good at as a photographer. The reason for that is I know there are certain types of photography that I'm either learning about or I haven't really figured out how to do yet. So submitting to a juried competition, particularly a blind juried competition, doesn't do me a lot of good because I don't get feedback. That's one of the things about a lot of these competitions, is that you're not necessarily going to get any feedback about why your work was selected or not selected. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that actually means later. But if I'm looking for actual feedback about how I can improve upon my work, just submitting work over and over again to juried competitions. For example, if I'm interested in improving my portrait photography, I could submit images over and over and over again to portrait competitions, but if I don't get any feedback, I don't necessarily know how to improve. So that may not be the best way of getting feedback, nor will it be the best way of judging the quality of my work, because I don't even understand necessarily the criteria by which they were selected. And that alone can make it difficult for me as a photographer to go ahead and improve from. One of the things, like I said, I look for the type of juried selection, the type of photography that's being included in there. Another thing I consider with the type of show is, what is it going to be used for? Is this for gallery, juried show? Is this for a magazine? Is this just for a competition that's going to appear on somebody's website? So understanding the nature of what is the ultimate outcome of the show goes significantly into weighing whether or not I'm interested in participating, because certain shows obviously have a higher bar, a higher quality bar, which might make the work more valuable if it is in fact selected. Once I've decided on a show, for whatever the reason, just because it's something I'm interested in, it's a magazine I want to be in, I think it'd be fun to go for the competition, you always need to read the fine print. It is very easy to get sucked into a photo competition by getting excited about potentially the prizes that are being offered or the show that's being offered. A lot of these photo competitions, a lot of these juried shows offer cash prizes. So that's one of the things that kind of can get you lured in to just going ahead and submitting on over and over again. But you really want to read the fine print, because you need to figure out if you're having to pay to be in the show or not pay to be in the show. And what is that money being actually used for? If it's just a paid show where you get prominent presence on somebody's website, that means they're actually keeping all the money. So it's a for-profit opportunity for them. Some offer a camera, some offer a trip, some offer a prize. And one of the things that can come with that is responsibility for taxes and travel. So if you win one of these competitions, you may ultimately have to pay some additional capital outlay to actually receive your prize. The other one you really want to read the fine print on is the copyright and usage. So some of these photo competitions are about rights grabs. They're about taking your photograph, and they will get rights that will give them an unlimited license to the work, meaning they can resell it, they can use it however they want, they can profit off of it. You may, in some cases, give up your copyright. So you always want to read the fine print of these photo competitions so you can really understand exactly what are you getting into before you submit. Most competitions will need, on some level, some usage right to the photograph, but it should be a non-exclusive, non-transferable license. It should be only used, in many cases, just for the promotion of the competition you're in. That limits the scope of what they can actually do with it. Obviously, they're going to need some level of rights, because if they're going to put your photo up on their website after you win, they'll need the rights to do that. But you will want to avoid looking for that copyright transfer and that unlimited usage. If you're fine, however, with those terms, go on ahead and submit to the show. But if you're not comfortable with the terms, don't submit to that competition. Like I said, there's a lot of competitions out there, so you can go on ahead and submit where you think it's appropriate. Also, you want to look at what you're going to get out of it. Are you going to get, like I said, some type of cash prize? Are you going to get notoriety? Are you going to get accolades? Are you going to get told you did a good job? Whatever you're going to get told at the end of the juried competition, assuming you actually get selected, what are you going to get out of that? And then you need to decide if that's really worth the effort, because it is going to be some effort. And in most cases, it's going to be a little bit of cash outlay for you to actually submit to the competition. So deciding what you're going to get out of it. One of the things for me that I always look for what I'm going to get out of it is who the work's being exposed to. So I always look at who's the juror and who's the jury panel, because if those are people that I respect, if those are people who own galleries, if they're museum curators, if they're photo buyers, what do they actually do? And do they have a chance of actually advancing my career? Because this is one of the things those competitions do. Even if you don't win, you are getting a chance to get your work seen by people who are supposedly more in the know in the industry. That access and that exposure sometimes can pay dividends. So even if you're not potentially selected, this is a way to get your work in front of museum and gallery curators, or like I said, photo buyers or magazine editors. So really looking at who is that juried panel, because your work may not work for the juried panel. It may not work for them, but then they may see that you have a really interesting eye, an interesting approach to your photography, and they could contact you after the fact, which is one of the reasons a lot of them jury the shows, is they're looking for new and unseen and hidden talent. The other thing you really need to do when you're reading the fine print is see exactly what they ask for, and then you need to follow directions. If they're asking for JPEGs that are 3,000 pixels long at 72 DPI with your name and the title included in the name of the actual file you upload, you need to do that. If they ask for 5 images, you need to give 5 images. It's really easy for you to submit and not follow the rules, and then to use that as the criteria to bounce you out without even having to look at the work. So you want to make sure you're really diligent about following the rules, follow them exactly, submit by the jury deadline. Also, I would encourage you not to wait till the very last second. If you think about fatigue and process of looking at your own images, if you have a large juried show and everything's sort of bunched together there at the end, and so you get a sense of fatigue, and one of the ways that juried shows oftentimes happen if you're curating and you're looking for the top is you're going to get a set of images and you're going to decide these images are in, these images are out, and then you're going to be, oh, this image goes in, this one comes out. If you're already in the to-do list, it's a competition better for you. The competition is better for you because somebody has to beat you to get you bounced out. Or if it's all kind of coming in together, you can kind of get lost in that shuffle. So I think getting submitted a little early rather than waiting until the absolute last second is important. I also believe that if you think about those juried panels, and a lot of these people are professional photo buyers, they're professional magazine people, and if they're working with somebody who they know can hit a deadline and hit the deadline early, that also speaks to them finding some talent that they could potentially work with. So there's some subtle little things in there. If you're interested in moving into that editorial, magazine, commercial space, this might be an opportunity for you to show some of your professionalism by not being one of those people who waits till the absolute last second. Okay, so once you've decided on all of those rules, you follow those processes, you're fine with the copyright, you're fine with the pay and all that kind of stuff, what you need to do now is decide on which images you're going to select. This is a really challenging thing to talk about in a few minutes because these competitions are all different. There are single image competitions. There are photo essay competitions. There's send in 5 images. There's send in 10 images on a specific category. So the category might be newborn portraiture. So you send in 5 newborns. It might be wedding photography. It could be landscape. It could be any number of different things. And you're going to end up with kind of 5 of your best images. One of the things I do recommend you do, though, is if you're going to have anywhere more than one image, and it's not a single image competition, is that you take a look at the story that's being told across those 5 images. Do the images flow from one to the next, to the next, to the next, or do they kind of just seem like a random hodgepodge of images? So I logically group them. I want to make sure there's a flow to them. And like I said, it doesn't matter whether there's 2 images or 10 images. I'm going to make sure that they're sequenced and ordered in a certain way. Now, am I ultimately in control of that? Potentially not. But I want to make sure that I've put myself in the best possible position so that as they look at the images, they are experiencing some level of story through those photographs. So even if it is the best of wedding photography, I'm going to find different wedding photographs that illustrate and tell some kind of interesting component, an interesting story there. Because one of the other things that's happening is it's not just about necessarily the image. If they're looking across photographers, that this is the best photographer and these are the best images or image out of the photographer set to select from. So I want to make sure that if I can elevate myself as a storyteller above just a one-hit wonder photo maker, I think that's important. Because one of the things that I know in my own juried submissions that I've done, in my own juried pools that I've set on, and those panels that I've set on, if I can look at a photographer and think, wow, this is a really great photographer, I'm going to keep that photographer to the top of the list, and then I'll select from that. Because one of the things that I think a lot of these competitions, one of the things they're looking for is really great photography. And one of the things that if you're a storytelling photographer, that gives an insight that maybe you're potentially better than just getting a one-hit wonder. Anybody can get a great photograph. It takes some talent to get more than one great photograph. And then it takes some dedication, talent, and understanding of the craft to actually make that story. So I think that's an important aspect, is for you to really consider what can you do in that storytelling standpoint. Things to look for, common theme. Just like if you're sequencing for a book or for a gallery show, you're looking for common themes. You're looking for how do they move in terms of tonality? How do they move by shape? How do they move by structure? Do they push against each other? Do they pull against each other? So you want to go in and make sure that you're identifying the key critical aspects of those photographs and making sure that they relate in a strong, significant way. In next week's podcast, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about these actual selections of these images and the criteria you'd use to actually pick out the individual photographs and things to consider if you're dealing with a 1, 2, 3, 5, or 10 image juried show. But if you're working on it this week, just start to really think about how those images relate to one another. The final thing that I want to talk about this week is what happens if you don't get selected, because this is one of the really interesting aspects, I think, in working with a lot of different photographers, is there is a expectation that we'll always win the competition, which I think is great. That's one of the things that's unique about us. That's one of the things that makes us feel good about ourselves, is if we do get selected. However, you have no idea how many people are being selected. You have no idea necessarily what the criteria that the judge or juried panel is using. And because of that, it's really easy to get frustrated and upset when images are selected and yours aren't, and we always compare ourselves to other photographers. So one of the things that I think is important is, one, congratulate yourself for actually putting yourself out there and attempting to get your work seen by other people. Two, you cannot, under any circumstance, take it personally when your work is not selected. You could literally take the same set of images, and assuming the minimum quality bar is set, so they're actually photographs of quality, which we'll talk about next week, but assuming you've met that minimum quality bar, you could literally show the same images to a juror 3 months later and have a completely different set of images selected, because that's kind of the nature of art and what attracts us in the moment. So don't get discouraged if you're not being selected. Use it as an opportunity to really try to think to yourself, if you were going to improve the work. So if you're not selected, what can you look at in your own work and how could you make that work better the next time? Could you sequence it different? Could you actually need to photograph differently? Did you actually really select truly great photographs? Or was there one or two in there where you're like, oh, it's not quite super in focus, but it's close enough. I think it really makes the story. Well, that really wasn't your best foot forward. So you've got to really make sure you're honest with yourself about that and always attempt to improve on what you're submitting. The last thing I think about that submission work is, you can't, like I said, you don't want to take it personally, but and you want to make sure you take some of the feedback and try to conceptualize what it is. But at the same time, it is not the end-all be-all of whether or not things are working for you as a photographer. Just because one person says no doesn't mean everybody's going to say no, and you're going to go through a lot of no's before you get a yes. So continually pushing yourself to put work out there. So don't get discouraged after the first time. I mean, you're going to set yourself a limit for how much submission you're probably doing because of budget and time, but you want to make sure that just because somebody says no, you don't stop submitting, you don't start putting yourself out there, because there is the process of getting through that is helping you make better selections and really come up and hone a really significant craft. So those are some of the things I like to think about when I'm initially coming up with what I'm worried about and what I'm thinking about when I submit to a juried show or for a photo competition. Big one, like I said, I really want to watch that usage rate. Two, I really want to make sure I'm in a category that makes sense for me. And three, no matter what the results are, I'm just going to use it as an opportunity to continually hone my skills, and I'm not going to take it personal. Like I said, next week we're going to talk more about the actual selection process depending on the size and the type of competition you're going to look at. So we'll pick a couple of different big categories, magazine, local photo club, things like that, for how we might select those photographs. We'll talk about some of the common criteria people use when they're actually evaluating those shows and kind of things to think about in terms of pulling that storytelling together. Hope you have a great week behind the camera. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes, Google Play Store, and all the places podcasts are found. There's still some room in a couple of my workshops later this year. Don't forget, you can use the discount code PODCAST10. Would love to see you at one of the workshops here upon the island. You can get that information up on my website, danieljgregory.com, and it's under workshops and teaching. They're on the 2017 workshop list. Have a great week, and I will see you next time.